නමෝ තස් භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස් භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස් භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස. Today's topic is Nekkhama, Parami and Meditation. Nekkhama is the Pali word, the Buddha's language. Nekkhama, it means renunciation. It is fitting to talk about it as now you are experiencing, many of you are experiencing temporarily monkhood and nunhood. So, it's a kind of one step, very useful step in cultivating the Nekkhama Parami. So let's talk about this. The relationship between the Nekkhama Parami and meditation. In the 10 parami, dasa parami, these parami come in third position, in sequence. Dana, which is giving, generosity. Sila, virtue, or morality. And then the third, the karma. Renunciation. After that is wisdom, panya. The fourth is panya. Then the rest, you know, the fifth, virya. The sixth, kanti. Virya, energy, energetic diligence. Fifth. The fourth is panya. The fifth is virya. The sixth is kanti. Patience or tolerance, endurance. Kasacha, then truthfulness. Adithana, the determination. Kanti, Sacha, Adithana. Then metta, loving kindness. In fact, in this case, we use loving kindness, but it also should cover the rest of the Brahma Vihara. And then upekkha. Equanimity. So, Nekkhama Parami come in third position after Dana Sila. It has its significance. It's something very special. When we talk about Nekkhama, both aspects we need to be aware. One is physical renunciation. Physically, now you shave your head, you put on the robes, and you keep to certain discipline that you requires restraint from music, from dinner, from sensual pleasures, from the usage of money and monetary transaction. So it's informed. So you keep the certain form, certain discipline, certain form of renunciation. But you shouldn't stop there. The real Nekkhama Parami comes from the mind. So all Parami are like that. When the mind is not working in that direction, it is only form. It doesn't produce much benefit. It is the mind that renounce, that let go, that counts, that is the real essence of all wholesome deeds. So, we look at this renunciation from the point, from the perspective of form, the physical manifestation, and in mind, which is in essence. Now, how does it affect our meditation? When we talk about meditation, bhavana, we always refer to the cultivation of samadhi and panya, concentration and wisdom. But before we come to that, the very foundation of this bhavana practice is sila, virtue, morality. So, if we want to talk about how nekama affect our meditation, we first talk about how nekama parami, renunciation parami, have an impact on our morality practice, our virtue cultivation. How it helps? By helping the cultivation of virtue, indirectly, in fact, not really indirectly, quite direct, it become a foundation, strengthen the foundation for our bhavana practice, our meditation practice. First, the karma is a very wonderful quality. When life gets entangled with a lot of sophistication, a lot of relationship, a lot of family bondage, business, wealth, all kinds of worldly bondage, which entangle most people, most worldly people. It is the nekama parami, the mind that can renounce, that can let go there and then. Cut through, just cut the Gordian knot. Disentangle from any messy situation. It is this power. There are a lot of things in the world that try to capture us. Intentionally, unintentionally, capture us, keep us down, keep us bound to the worldliness. Whoever has this quality of nekama, renunciation, when you see a real need to go forth, the real need to strive for the truth, towards the truth, it is this nekama parami can allow you to just let go. It is so difficult, you want to untie every knot. So hard. But it is this nekama parami, it's like a very powerful wisdom sword. Just cut through and you're out. So this is the first thing, how it works. Then secondly, when you renounce, I don't mean the temporarily. Temporarily also good. But we really have the heart that you renounce for that period of renunciation. You free yourself from conflict of interest with the world. With your friend, with your family, you avoid. Because why? The renunciate, the monastic, the renunciate, the recluse, let go of everything, and don't get involved in worldly pursuits. When you don't get involved in worldly pursuits, how can you fall into any conflict of interest with anybody? No. So when you don't have worldly conflict of interest with the world, then a lot of morality become easy to practice. You see, many people say, Bhante, we cannot practice this morality because, you know, my interest is affected with that and that. You know? Yes, sometimes people suffer so much for the sake of jealousy. You know? I know some people suffer so much. Came to us, Bhante, how am I? Please help me. I end up wearing green hat. So how to overcome green hat? I say, well, If you renounce, there will be no green hat to wear. You know? So this is like that. When you have this conflict of interest, yes, of course, you get bound. But when you have no, you just renounce and let go, fine. No, you never fall into this. I see how people suffer so badly. But if you really live a life of a renunciate, then you don't suffer this. You're free. So free. Then thirdly, there are a lot of long lists. I will just quote three for morality practice. When you renounce, you are free from the problems of money, and opposite sex. So often these two things are the very big, cause a lot of entanglement, a lot of unhappiness, a lot of strife to protect this aspect of self-interest. And so often people fight, get into conflict for these six, money and opposite sex. Men for women and women for men. But when you renounce, do you still have this problem? This is big. Big. Two classes of big problem away from you. So because of that, the sealer become so free from a lot of messy things, become easy to keep. Okay? Now we talk about samadhi. How renunciation directly help or assist or make it easier for us to cultivate samadhi concentration. First, it helps us in a very quite a substantial way to be free from five hindrances, five nivarana. As you know, the number one is sensual craving. Sensual craving. Because of renunciation, you are not supposed to do that. You are not supposed to indulge in that. And no doubt the anusaya, the hidden in the latent tendency, you may still have the sensual clinging, the inclination towards sensual pleasures, the sensual craving. But somehow, because of the practice, let go, and then the setup of our life, make it, we are further is protected from that. So, there is a very little occasions, or at least much reduced occasions to that can arouse the sensual craving. So in that sense, it helps. The whole setup of the monks or nuns' life is in such a way that a lot of the sensual hindrance of sensual craving get curbed or restrained. And then, how it helps anger. Anger also a lot, you know. So often we get agitated, we get angry, because of our entanglement with the beloved ones and this and that. So if property, if personal selfish interests. So when we renounce, what is the meaning of renunciation? It means you put your whole life, all focus on the striving along the journey towards Nibbana, towards liberation. So, all other things, when you don't care, you don't hold on so much, there are much less scenario or occasions that can arouse our anger. Then, likewise, when you renounce, the life becomes very simple. simple and open and clear. So with that, the kind of, some people can feel it more. When you, if you really live up that life, you get less and less rot on top and sleepiness is true. You know? Yeah. We also don't eat so much, you know, when we don't take dinner, you know, we don't take supper. So, a lot of things that can contribute to our srot and topo, you know, become less. Our life becomes very healthy. We wake up early, we sleep early, you know. Very healthy lifestyle. So in that way, so in it also helps, srot and topo. You know, restlessness is a remorse. Restless remorse. When you get a lot of entanglement, yes, very easy. There are a lot of occasions you can think about yourself. How might get restless. When we want this, we want to, we multitask, we want too many things, we want to accomplish too many things at one single moment, one time. That is the thing. Yeah. That's a worldliness. Then, yeah, skeptical down, not that really that much, but it's still possible. When you renounce, you see, from, you spend a lot of time to verify the Buddha's teaching by direct practice. So because we have a lot of time to practice, to study, to verify the teaching, then doubts become easily removed. People have a lot of doubt because they don't study, they don't investigate deep enough, then they have a lot of doubt. But when you renounce, you have the time. Time is for you. You don't get involved in worldly works, then a lot of time. So, in one way, directly or indirectly, some are more direct. But whatever it is, renunciation helps us to be contribute to do the freedom from five nivarana, five hindrances. You know, five hindrances is a major obstacle for the attainment of jhana, concentration. So if you can overcome five hindrances, it helps so much. How to be free from these hindrances. Then another thing helpful for cultivation of samadhi is time. Once you renounce, suddenly you find you have so much time. Because we no longer squander our time on useless things anymore. So a lot of time can be used for Dhamma cultivation from morning you wake up and until you fall asleep at night. Whole day our life is occupied with Dhamma practice and cultivation. So you have time for Dhamma. This is very precious. We have very few works, duty. Our duty is only to seek liberation. Of course, some people say, oh, Bhante, I see you very busy also. That's for Dhamma. That's for Dhamma only. But in fact, we still have time for Dhamma practice. We are busy, but in a way, but yeah, you can say the monks are also busy meditating all the time, very busy. Maybe busy meditating. This kind of busy is okay. Because every moment you are busy, more parami, more merits are cultivated. We never say this kind of busy is wrong. It's good. Cultivate. Because these merits that we cultivate is a supportive condition for the realization of Nibbana. No harm. So, see the difference. What the Buddha say, works always refer to those things unrelated to the cultivation of the Dhamma and towards liberation. But our work, so-called work, is actually bhavana, cultivation. So please make see the difference. So in fact, we have the duty. Once you renounce, we have the duty to seek liberation. So, all the time is spent for this, so useful. then the condition. You see? So when people want to practice samadhi, or something, they have to prepare this, prepare that, and make this, you know? Not easy. You want to create a condition to meditate. Is it that easy? Especially those who stay in the city. Is it so easy? No, not easy. You have to create a condition, quiet environment, secluded, close to nature. Not everyone can do that. Not easy. But as a monk, as a nun, or as a monastic, a recluse, and a renunciate, we have the most economic use of resources and merit. We use minimum. Of course, in the ancient time, the Buddha allowed the tree root for meditation practice. Stay under the tree and just meditate free. That's the best. That's the most economic use of resources. You have whatever merits you cultivate, you can use for a long, long time. You see? Because you don't need so much. You just need minimum for Dhamma cultivation. Of course, nowadays, due to our own weakness, we need a little bit more. More facilities, more comfort. But at least we still try to keep it to economic use of resources. Instead of every person have to prepare such a condition for the himself or herself. In Penang, our MDS branch, Penang branch president, he's rich. He has his own shrine hall, you know, by the seaside. Okay, fine. But not easy, you know, to come to that. You have to work hard for decades. Then you earn so much, then you are able to have such a private meditation hall. But now, as monastics, when we come together, we build that everyone can use. So, the most economic use of resources. That means you don't need to work so hard in to accumulate sufficient condition for Dhamma practice towards liberation. So, I think I see this as a wonderful benefit of a renunciation. Then, the third one, there are a lot more lists. Like, if you want to write, you can write. You can discover yourself how the karma renunciation assists or conduce to your cultivation of samadhi, concentration. And now, panya, wisdom. How renunciation helps us. I see a few. I just got two to you. First, as renunciation enables us to be disentangled from worldliness, so being unentangled, the mind which is not bound, which is free, is easy and free to see true nature of life, life's reality. When we are entangled with a lot of interests, self-interests, desires, externalities, then you notice that the mind cannot see things as they really are. Not easy. Not easy. I'm not saying impossible, but it's not more difficult. Only when your mind is free, you let go of all this, then suddenly a lot of things become very clear to you. Much easier. This is a benefit. So, being unentangled, this renunciation quality, this parami, enhance our ability to see the true nature of life's reality. Why do we need to see the true nature of life's reality? Especially the ultimate reality? Because it is a reality that enlightens us, that makes us free from the deluded state, free from the illusion that we create for ourselves. It is all this illusion, delusion, that make us create all the causes of suffering and end up suffering.
So the way the signs of liberation is actually try to see reality as they really are. Yatha Buddham Jnana Dasanam. See things as they really are with wisdom. So that we can be free from delusion, illusion, and then free from the causes of suffering. So, now, this Nekama Parami renunciation helps us so much by allowing us to have an unentangled mind. Okay? If you practice renunciation properly. And then, the next one is Panya, the wisdom, gets better manifestation in renunciation. It's true. When we renounce, you live up to the principle of letting go. Otherwise, it is easy to say, oh, I let go, I let go. But the mind stays entangled with husbands, wife, children. Then, difficult to say that you really can live up to high level of wisdom. But not to say impossible. We have anagami like Gatikara, who as a layperson who practice so much better than even many monks. So, but generally, our wisdom gets better manifestation in renunciation. How? So when we talk about people like Gatikara, but even he didn't practice as anagami, he didn't practice physical renunciation, but in his mind, it's almost like that. They refuse to use money, doesn't, all exchange you take and give, like that. Very, very simple life. So that in spirit, he also renounced. But he couldn't renounce in form, because of the parents, other reason. Okay? So now, when you renounce, even this is a temporary renunciation, cherish this and try to live up to renunciation. Even for a short period, try to behave, conduct yourself in such a way as if you renounce permanently. As if you are long-term monastic. And live up to that quality of Nekama Parami. Then you'll find that it becomes a big help, big boost for your practice. You don't crave this, crave that. Just practice. Just your free heart. That's helpful. But make sure you renounce in your mind. Not only in form, but in mind. In essence. Okay? So, do you appreciate your renunciation? So, as a Buddhist, disciples of the Buddha, we should achieve at least once in a lifetime renunciation parami. Cultivate, plant the seed into your life. At least once. Try, huh? Okay. So let's share merits and make wishes, share merits. Idang me punyang asawakaya wahang hutu. Idang me punyang nibana sa pachayo hutu. Mama punya bagang sabba satanang bajimi. Te sabbe me samang punya bagang labandu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.